tying up some loose ends up next.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Brian, I have we've talked about a bunch of topics over the last few months, and there's a few things that have come up recently that I want to talk about. And for those of you that are checking out the Handy Guys Podcast, Brian has no idea what this show's about.
Right. So here we go. So is this a quiz Brian show? Is this a let's see if we can put Brian on the spot show? What is it?
We get questions from time to time about how we prepare for shows, whether we outline them or whatever. And here's the answer. No preparation for the show. But actually, I want to talk about a few topics.
Come on. We prepare for the shows. We at least outline them. No, we pick the topics. We talk about them ahead of time a little bit.
Yeah, we usually do. I'm just saying this show.
This show, we...
No prep, but it's still going to be a great show. But give out our contact information. I'll give you a hint. I'm going to talk about the sink, the Moen that we've already talked about. I want to talk about, wrap up one thing about the John Deere mower that we've already talked about. And if you have any topics there, Brian, maybe some questions we've got on your mind,
we can
cover those on this Loose Ends show.
So, okay. So the contact information. So just visit us on the website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. You can go to the contact tab and all the information is right there, or follow us on Twitter. We're Handy Guys on Twitter, and Facebook, we're The Handy Guys.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let The Handy Guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Okay, Brian, first of all, I want to talk about our mailing list. We have... We started a mailing list a couple months ago, a new mailing list.
Right.
And you can subscribe right on our webpage. And I think we say in there that you can get some.
We might be doing a giveaway. Right. We might, and we haven't
done anything.
At first, we were just sending out our shows each week when they came out, and we stopped doing that. Right. And so all the original subscribers from 2 years ago, they're still getting the weekly shows.
Right.
But in this new mail list,
now, can they unsubscribe to that original list, and how would they know which list they're on?
If you're getting a weekly email from us, you're on our original list.
Okay.
And at the bottom of that is, obviously, you can unsubscribe.
If you want.
And if you want to get on our new list.
Which we would encourage you to do.
Sure. Then you can just go to the website, and up on the top right-hand side is a subscribe, or this little window comes flying at you, after.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Now, if you get on the new list, it'll only send you monthly updates with the list of the shows for that month, right?
No, right now we're not even doing that.
Oh, we're not doing that. I thought we were.
No, we're just collecting email addresses.
Oh, okay. And I just want to say why we're doing that, and that is if we did have opportunities for special offers, we would send it to our users or freebies or something like that, but we're being very careful. We don't want to be sending you crap all the time and spam.
Right. It's
got to
be worthwhile.
Yeah. I mean, we have companies that want to come to us and say, hey, please send this out to your listeners. We'll give them a 10% discount, all that kind of thing. But if we did that for every company and sponsor that came to us, we would be spamming you, essentially. So we're being very judicious.
Right. It's got to be worthwhile.
All right. But we still may do something. So it doesn't hurt to sign up. You can always unsign up.
You know what? Maybe we are doing monthly digests on that email list. I forget.
All right. Well, here's what I want to talk about. We've had I want to follow up. Been about a month or so, maybe longer. We did a show on my Moen sink.
That's right. On your Moen faucet.
Yeah, the faucet.
Right. The pull-out faucet, and it was causing some foamy water that didn't quite smell right. You got a new hose from Moen.
Right. I called Moen. Their customer service is excellent. I wanted to provide a follow-up. I think I talked in the show that they sent me a new hose, and what happens is when you first turn on the sink, when it has been used in a few hours, you get this foamy water.
Yeah, that's
very strange. And it smells, too. Has an interesting smell. I haven't really... I don't know what is. Everyone has a different opinion as to what it smells like. But they gave me a new hose. It was doing it. I left it in. Now, I also called Moen and told them it's still doing it.
Right.
Their customer service is very good. They said, we'll send you a new faucet.
Just pick what you want.
Essentially, except that they didn't want to send, they were not going to send me another one that has the
same
pull-out
kind of
faucet.
Right.
They would only send me a fixed faucet.
Right.
And they still have some nice ones, but that's an awesome feature. Once you get used to that, it's hard to turn back on. Yeah, it's great. We use it all the time, especially changing it to spray to the regular stream, but we also pull it out a lot every night, washing dishes.
Okay.
So I didn't want to give that
up. I thought
you
had a dishwasher. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're always repairing your dishwasher.
No, well, that's something else I want to follow up on my dishwasher, because the dishwasher is working better than ever. So anyway, for now, we decide we'll wait and see what happens. Well, we've had a listener contact us.
Twice, two different listeners.
Yes, and that's right. We've had a couple listeners, and one of them is going to have, he has the same problem. He's going to have the water tested for, what is it?
VOCs.
VOCs, right.
Which stands for what,
Paul? Volatile organic compounds.
Right.
Right. So I want to wait and see what happens. We were going to do the same thing, and we still might.
Right.
If I can get a good foamy water. And the interesting thing is, I did a little a test with the water, poured it into a glass, the foamy, and I left it overnight just to see if it would still smell the next day, or to see maybe if it was just a gas, or if the water itself has that smell. And it did. It still smelled the next day. So I'm
you tried dropping a match in it?
Well, that's not a, maybe I need like a shield and a special exhaust
system. Take it out on the back porch and get some foamy bubbles, drop a match and see if anything happens.
No, that's actually not a bad idea. But anyway.
You got to have the video camera going when you do that, just in case it does do something crazy.
So that's the update. I've kind of sat on it. I haven't done anything. I want to get the water tested. But I will say Moen's going to stand behind the product. They're going to at least try to make me happy.
Right. And, you know, in Googling about this this problem, it doesn't seem to be unique to Moen.
It seems to be more with Moen, but you're right. There's some examples of other types.
Right. So other brands that have the same kind of reinforced, braided hose pull-out mechanism also have foamy water.
What's the big factory complex in China that employs like a couple hundred thousand people?
Shanghai?
Million. No, it's like Apple. I was thinking of their one contract supplier. But anyway, so that's that. Then the other issue is my dishwasher.
Yes.
We've done videos. We've talked about it. And anyone with the model that I have, which is made by Whirlpool, if they have a Whirlpool or KitchenAid or Kenmore Elite, all have the same guts of this, you know, in the particular years that they were made.
And the problem is the thing getting clogged up.
They don't wash well. I mean, the food just clogs up and it recycles the water and ends up recycling dirty water. You got to clean out the basin, and it fixes a lot of problems. We've gotten a million emails saying, "Hey, you saved my life." You know, practically,
that's right.
However,
and we get you know, like 100 hits a day or plays a day on just that video alone.
But Brian, you gotta put up this post and make sure you put in cloudy dishes or something like that. Because even though we fixed the problem with the grit, we were still getting dishes with cloudiness, a film on them still.
Okay.
Like it was a little different. It wasn't
like
as bad.
Like a hard water kind of
a film? Yeah, it was like the hard water issue. And we tried the water, putting in the rinse aid and all that. Nothing worked. We found a solution.
Really?
I think. And it's worked now for probably a month.
And the solution's not water softener?
Before, if we hand cleaned the dishes, got them real clean, it would go for about a month or so, then they would build up this cloudiness again. And we were very frustrated. And interestingly, someone I work with said that he's having the same problems with his GE. And I told him to first clean out the basin and then try this. And it's not to use rinse aid, although he wasn't using rinse aid, so maybe rinse aid would have fixed his problem. It's to use white vinegar. Instead of rinse aid, put white vinegar in the rinse aid compartment and perhaps even dump a little bit in the wash.
Huh.
And get this, our dishes are crystal clear. First we had to hand wash them with the white vinegar because it was so built up, and regular washing just didn't get the stuff off the dishes. We used white vinegar, cleaned them, they look great, and now we've been in the dishwasher and it's been about a month. I keep saying to my wife, "Have you hand washed these again with the white vinegar?" And she says, "No."
Okay, so that white vinegar will cut the mineral deposits that build up on things,
exactly.
Right? So people use white vinegar to clear that cloudiness off the shower door and off of faucets, bathtubs, whatever, faucets. So, Paul, I think we're going to have to do a show on installing a water softener. I think that would do... That would fix your problem that your solution is solving with your vinegar right now.
It might, except that when I tested my water, it's not really that hard. It's just
a little bit hard.
Barely over average, yeah.
All right. Well, I think a water softener. So if we have any, maybe we've got any listeners out there that work for water softener companies, you know, maybe they want to hook us up and we'll do a whole show on it.
If you want to test your water for water hardness, where might you go to get do a test?
Well, when I did mine, the place that sold the water softeners, And at True Value, too, they've got test kits. You can go in there and you can get these little test kits. And you just bring them in a little sample of water, and they go in and put a couple of strips in there.
Yeah, it's an instant test.
Yeah, and it'll tell you where you're at.
Yeah, so you can go to your True Value. So anyway, mine was a little bit hard, but the vinegar fixed everything. Now, my wife dumps a little bit in the wash before she starts it. I keep saying there's no point to that because the first part of the cycle in most washers, and including ours, is that it pumps out any water that's in the basin. That's what it does, the very first thing.
Right.
And but she says, oh, it helps. And maybe she's right. Maybe enough of it clings to the sides and to it that it gets mixed in. And so there you have it. My washer is now working better than ever.
All right.
Well, I still contend, though, that the old ones that use more water wash better. But
yeah. Well, water softeners. Maybe before Christmas we can get to that.
All right. I doubt it, but we'll see.
All right. After Christmas.
All right. Up next, we have some more loose ends to cover.
Loose ends?
Loose ends.
All right.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast. Who would have thought? Pour me a double.
Okay, Brian, I have some other listener questions I want to answer and some loose ends. But first, we have a little listener giveaway.
Let's do that now. So,
all right.
From time to time, vendors will send us samples and things like that, and we'll do a little giveaway. So what we have right now are two frog tape kits. So we've got little bags that say frog tape on them and T-shirts and samples of frog tape. So what's frog tape, Paul?
That's the green tape, right?
That's for painting? It's a painter's tape, except it's got kind of a new adhesive that doesn't let the tape or let the paint bleed in under the tape or into the paper.
Right.
So it leaves a really, really crisp line. It's a premium product, and it works really, really well. So I've got samples of that and giveaways. So just leave a comment on this post saying, hey, I want some frog tape, something like that, and we'll...
Say I've gone green.
Yeah, say whatever. And we'll pick some random people that have commented on this post, and we will...
How do we contact them? Is there email address?
Yeah, when you comment on the post, you got to leave your email address. So we'll have your
make
email.
Make sure it's a valid email address, not something like at, excite.com or what was that? Old
are they still
website?
In business?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, AltaVista.com. Yeah, GeoCities. There you go.
Handy Guys used to be hosted there. No,
I'm just kidding.
So just leave a comment on the post, and we'll email the winner and get your shipping information. We'll get that sent out ASAP.
Okay. Good. So I want to talk then about this one listener question.
Okay.
And it's from Paul. He also is the one that asked us the question in last show. That we answered regarding
wallpaper.
Yeah. And he asked us about 20 questions in one email. We can't cover them all. Sorry, Paul. But he does talk about, it's kind of funny. He says, I'm going to be demolishing a bathroom. Then he says, I have a toilet that doesn't always flush all the way. And I'm thinking, okay, so what's the problem? You're demolishing it, aren't you?
Right.
It's like, I'm demolishing my bathroom and I have a cracked tile. I don't. But anyway, maybe he wants
right.
to keep
so
the
you,
toilet.
So his
toilet either, does not flush all the way. That's the
right.
problem.
So he's not going to, he's got a lot of projects in this new house, and he's not going to get to the bathroom right away.
Right.
So he wants his toilet to work in the meantime.
And he says he's replaced all the insides, all the parts in the back in the tank, I assume.
Right. So that would be the fill valve, the flush valve, all that kind of stuff. So, and it's still not flushing. Yeah. That's the flapper.
Flapper.
That's
valve,
also called the flush valve.
Yeah. I call it the stopper because it stops the water from going down into the bowl.
So that... That thing.
My unprofessional.
Okay, so Paul, it's one of two things or a combination of both those things is the problem.
Can I guess one of them?
Yeah.
All right, so it's not flushing well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to have proper venting in your plumbing for water to go flow correctly.
That's right.
So either it wasn't vented correctly or there's some sort of clog in his vent, like a bird's nest or something. Leaves or whatever.
That's a possibility. So there could be a clog somewhere in the line that's keeping the venting from. In other words, as the water goes down, air needs to come in so that the water can flow smoothly.
Yeah.
But let's assume that the house was built correctly and the plumbing was installed correctly.
Now, I did say or seem to suggest earlier in the email that it's an older home.
Sure, and they vented those toilets. They were big cast iron vents going up to the roofs and stuff like that.
But what sometimes happens in the older homes is this bathroom was added on.
Right. So it may not be vented correctly. You're right, Paul. But before we get into that, there's two simple things we can check.
Okay.
To eliminate the, you know, what's wrong with the toilet. Obviously, when you demo your bathroom, you're going to put a new toilet in, most likely, if you're going to do a full gut job remodel. But first thing is, I would ask you, Paul, if you hold down the handle, does it flush properly?
Right.
Okay. So what sometimes happens is the chain is not adjusted correctly, right. So the flapper closes right. too quickly.
Or the flapper is not designed for your particular style of
right. And so,
toilet.
So it's not letting all of the yeah. water all at once to go down in the bowl. Okay, that's a simple adjustment. The other thing it can be is underneath the rim, you've got lots of little holes where the water right. comes out.
Yep.
And also down at the very bottom of the bowl is another little jet, yep. so to speak, you where the water yeah. comes out. So those can become clogged yep. up and build up with minerals
over the years.
Mm-hmm. So make sure those are clear. So use
a clothes hanger?
Yeah, a coat hanger,
yeah.
right? A wire coat hanger and poke those little holes. Just make sure they're unobstructed. Make sure that chain is adjusted correctly. And as long as you don't have any venting or clogging issues, that should take care of it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, we're assuming it's an old toilet. There were those early model of the
low flow.
Yeah, and they just didn't flush, period. They didn't work. They were using less water and they just didn't work. Where it's amazing, the newer ones, like the one I have, is it just works. I've never had a problem with it. Even though it uses even less than the original low flow, it's like 1.3 gallons or whatever.
And right.
1.6 right. and it works great. But
right. I just bought a couple for the campground yeah. and we'll flush a bucket of golf balls, it says, right. says on the box.
Exactly.
Right?
And they do work, but the original ones were horrible and they'd never flush right. So when were coming out, what, the early 90s or something like that?
I don't know. But yeah, so if that's a good point. If you've got an early low flow toilet, like one of the first generation ones, it might just be a lost cause and ready to head demolish. To the dump.
Yeah, those are demolishable. All right, up next, some more loose ends.
Now that is a cool tool. I want one of those.
So, Brian, I went to finally fulfill the task that we discussed a couple weeks ago in regards to the John Deere closing it out for the season, and namely making sure that you properly take care of the fuel, either adding Stabil or some sort of fuel stabilizer or running it out of fuel.
Running it dry.
Yeah. Right. So I did that. I looked in my tank today. I saw that there was not much fuel in it. In fact, I could see the tube that sucks up uh-huh. the fuel. You can see it going down, and it was only a little bit above that, so I added a little bit of fuel. I started mowing my lawn
because
I wanted it to be almost out when I was done. It got to the end, and I looked in the tank, and it just looked like there wasn't much in there, and I'm racing through it, and then I get to the end, and I take the cap off, look at it again, and it's still a little bit above the tube. So I said, well, that's all right. I had planned this, so I was going to let it run while I had to wash the cars.
Okay.
And so I just let it run and run and run. Now, I had it in low. It wasn't in, you know, it's it, the
throttle.
Throttle was down low because I didn't want it to be so loud and have the neighbors kill me. But it ran, I don't know, it was probably an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Still, before it died?
No, it still hasn't died. I had to shut it off for the night. So
yeah, so you could have mowed your lawn again.
I definitely could have mowed the lawn again, I would think, unless it's burning 10 times more when it's going.
But well, it is burning more
fuel for sure with the propellers going and everything else, but still.
The propellers?
The propellers, the blades. You know, they're like propellers.
Right. This is an all-terrain.
I'm thinking of all these planes that are losing engines. But over in Australia or whatever that is. But anyway, Qantas. That's right. Anyway, so the blades. So I wish I had done the stable route, but either way, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I haven't gone through that yet. I'm going to mow one more time, I think, and then I don't know. We'll see how much gas is in there. I may add some Stabil and then top the tank off. Remember, it's got to be full.
The tank has to be full.
Right.
So I need to put in 2 gallons or whatever
the whatever tank, that tank I think it's holds.
2.1 or right. something like that. It has to be completely full. Why right. is that?
No air in there.
You don't want any air in
the tank because the air has moisture. And,
yeah.
You know, so you either want a full tank of stabilized gas or no gas whatsoever.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'll try to burn off.
And the same in your gas can. So if you've got some left in your gas can, you may want to just dump it into your car or something.
I think I might just mow the lawn again. In go. 2 days, just right. until it just stops.
Sure.
Right in the backyard, probably. And I'm
gonna then you're going to have to push it up the hill.
I'll have to add more fuel. Then end up. Now, maybe I'll just let it burn off in the garage, see if I can just, I mean, in the driveway, just let it run tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was annoying. It just wouldn't go down. All right. Do you have any more loose ends you want to cover?
Yeah. What did I want to cover?
So, Brian, I have a loose end.
All right.
Since you can't think of one.
All right. So, what's your last loose end?
A few years ago, I don't know how many, at least 4 or 5, something like that, thanks to the good old state of California, they legislated some sort of new gas cap for your fuel tanks.
Oh, gosh. And, don't get me started on this gas cap.
They required these caps that are supposed to prevent spills or something. Everyone had to start selling them. Well, they're the worst gas caps ever. In fact, I've spilled 20 times, 100 times more fuel with these things than the old-fashioned kind, which were just, you know, open it up and pour.
Right.
They're terrible. They're supposed to have a spring mechanism when it opens it, and you got to turn it upside down, but it always sticks when it gets dirty, and you can't just...
Right, and they don't have, like, a little vent thing to let the gas in on right. the other end.
It's hideous.
Well, there's a new version of that.
Yes.
And that's just as bad.
Oh, it is. Rats. I was hoping it was better.
Well, it's because you got a switch and a little lever, and you got to pull the switch and then squeeze the little lever down.
I looked at it, and it looked potentially bad, but I'm thinking nothing can be worse than the other. Because
not worse than the one.
One I have, you had to turn the can upside down so you could push it down to get this thing
the
to
little
open.
Spring to open, yeah.
And it would stick, and then to get it would stick open. So when I would take the can out, all the fuel would leak. It's so stupid. Anyway, I noticed that True Value has a new version.
Right.
And it's got that
green like little thing on it. So there's a switch on the side. Yeah. So you pull the switch back and then you got to squeeze the top part.
Then flow freely or do you have to?
And then it flows freely.
Oh, see, I still think that's got to be better.
That is an improvement over what you have. Yeah. Absolutely.
So check it out, your True Value. Now, I wonder if you can just buy new caps for your can. I don't think they sell it that way.
We got to find someone who sells just old-fashioned caps, right?
Yeah. We need to... Yeah. Anyway, but True Value has them. They have all the different sizes. So if you're sick of this ridiculous version of a so-called spill-free cap, check out the new ones that they have at the True Value. I noticed them when we were in there looking around. I still haven't purchased one yet, but I'm thinking about it. I mean, I noticed that fuel tanks as a whole are pretty expensive. It's amazing. I don't know if it's why, but
well, it's because they got to meet all these regulations now, so that costs money, right?
So if you get a chance to check out the new versions of the spill-free whatever, I don't know.
And if you found something,
let us know how they work.
Yeah, and if you found something else that is new, safety cap, you know, carb compliant, California compliant, and all of that,
Arnold,
that you do like, you know, let us know, and maybe we'll check it out and talk about it on the show.
And if you're from the great state of California, can you just let us know why you put us through all this?
We do have listeners in California. It's
I know.
Of all the states, it's number three, actually, in the number of states, believe that.
Well, we appreciate you listening, but it's causing me pain sometimes with my gas cap.
You know what state's number one?
Texas?
Nope.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania's number one.
Wow.
Texas is number two. And California's number three.
Okay, interesting. That's about the only time we're ahead of those states, other than maybe hunters per capita. But I think Texas would argue with that probably too.
Right.
All right. Well, that's it for this show. We've tied up some loose ends. Hopefully we've left no stones unturned. And we will be back next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.